قاسم محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرذين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفدا واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
وبركاته.
زيارة عاشورة، one of the best زيارات that we have, probably the best زيارات that we have. And the benefits of reciting this زيارات are incomparable with any other زيارات. And the ثواب of زيارات زيارة عاشورة is extremely high. Many of our scholars, many of the great Maharaji and Ayatollahs, they have a routine of reciting it every day. And they say that we have got everything from Ziyarat Ashura and Namaz-e-Shab, Tahajjud. These two things are extremely important. Adul Bahjat, even towards the end of his life, he died at the age of 97, even then he was reciting Ziyarat Ashura every day with the 100 Salawat and the 100 Laan in the Haram of Hazrat Masuma. And in the summer holidays, he used to go to Mashhad and he would recite it every morning after Fajr in the Haram of Imam Ali alayhi salam. During his stay in Najaf, he said, I used to do that in the Haram of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And whenever he went to Karbala, he would do in the Haram of, he would recite Ziyarat Ashura in the Haram of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. So Ziyarat Ashura is one of the best Ziyarat that we have, and it is extremely rewardful. And anyone who regularly recites Ziyarat Ashura, inshallah, surely Imam Hussain alayhi salam will do his Shafa'at in his grave, and then the hereafter will get the Shafa'at, but also in his grave. Say the Shahada will surely come and do your Shafa'at. So Ziyarat Ashura is extremely, one of the best Ziyarat that we have, extremely high. Now, the sanad of Ziyarat Ashura, there are many, many books now available even in English, and there are commentaries, one by Sheikh Khalfan, who is from Dar es Salaam in Tanzania. He's written a commentary on it. The first volume has come out and he'll have a number of volumes. And there are many other people who are writing commentaries on Ziyarat Ashura in English now, or translating the commentaries. So you can find the sanad, or the chain of transmission of Ziyarat Ashura in many books in English. But in brief, the whole of this Ziyarat is from Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salatu wa
sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
The sixth Imam al-Islam, he says that he got it from his forefathers, from his father, and he from his grandfather, and likewise. And Ziyarat Ashura is Hadith-e Qudsi according to many of the Asnad. That is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the angels that the recitation of the Ziyarat of Sayyidul Shuhada should be this way. So it is one of the best Ziyarat that we have. For many amal, many people actually recite it for 40 days. If you do a mannat, you know, if you make another or a vow that if this happens, then inshallah I will recite Ziyarat Ashura for 40 days. Many people do it that way. Many people do it the other way around as well. Oh Allah, I will recite Ziyarat Ashura for 40 days and I have this dua, you accept the dua. So they will make a dua and they will recite Ziyarat Ashura for 40 days and inshallah at the end of it, people who are sick, people who have any dua, any mannat, you know, for many different things, Ziyarat Ashura is a common practice amongst the greatest of the scholars. People like Abdullah Bahjat, he says that I became what I became because of Ziyarat Ashura and Tahajjud. Some ulama like Allama Tabatabai, he said that I became what I became because of Imam Ali alayhi salam, you know, the Haram of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and Namaz Shab, and many other scholars. You know, a habit of visiting one of the Imams is extremely important. And that is why it is extremely important that you go to one of the Hawzas. When you go to the Hawza in Najaf or Qom or Mashhad or Sayyidah Zainab Salaamu Alaiha. Why? Because it is one of the Harams and that has an extreme effect on your spirituality. It gives you an uplift in your spiritual status. So that is why it is extremely important to do Ziyarat. In Ziyarat, there are many, many Ziyarat. We have, if not hundreds, then we have tens and tens of ziyarat of the Imam al-Husam. Especially for every occasion, we have a ziyarat for Imam Hussain alayhi salam. For every occasion. Imam Hussain alayhi salam is the only Imam for every occasion you have a ziyarat for Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Say Allah salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
usually don't have a habit of continuously drinking tea, but it's an informal session, so I'm just taking tea, so hopefully you love mine. Now, Sayyidul Shuhada, every moment, every occasion, every happy occasion even, for every Eid, you know, Eid al-Fitr, Eid al-Adha, you have Ziyarat of Imam Hussain al-Islam. For Laylat al-Qadr, you have Ziyarat of Imam Hussain al-Islam. For Nima al-Sha'ban, the Viladat of Imam Zamana, you have Ziyarat of Imam Hussain al-Islam. For every occasion there is Ziyarat of Imam Hussain al-Islam. Except for Eid al-Qadir. Only and only Eid al-Qadir. Where there is a long Ziyarat for Ali ibn Abi Talib al-Islam. Otherwise, there is a ziyarat for every occasion, for every happy and sad occasion, there is a ziyarat of Imam Hussain al-Islam. Can you imagine? This is Imam Hussain al-Islam, that there is a ziyarat, salutations. And you pay your respects to Imam. Even when you go to the haram of other Imams, even for haram of Ali ibn Abi Talib, even the haram of the Holy Prophet, and the haram of Hazrat Zahra, the haram of Imam Hassan al-Mustafa, the haram of any of the Imams, alayhi salatu wa salam. The haram of the Imam of Baqi, you know, and Kadhimain, Samarra, Mashhad. Not only just, you know, the children of the Imam, but even the Imams themselves. You recite the ziyarat of the Imam, and then it is Mustahab to turn towards Karbala from that haram and recite the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that Sayyidul Shuhada, for every haram, wherever you go to, this is the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam from Najaf. If you go to Najaf, then after the recitation of the Ziyarat of Imam Ali Islam, this is the Ziyarat of Imam Hussain, you should recite. From the Haram of Imam Mirada, this is the Ziyarat. And most of the places, Ziyarat-e-Varitha. So Ziyarat-e-Varitha itself and Ziyarat-e-Ashura. Ziyarat-e-Varitha is very simple and short Ziyarat, and Ziyarat-e-Ashura is extremely important Ziyarat. This is a long Ziyarat. Ziyarat is not so long, but you see the 100 Salawat and the 100 Laan. The meanings of Ziyarat-e-Ashura that I want to... Ashura simply, literally translates from Ashara, Ashura. The day of 10th. So Ashara is 10, Ashura, the 10th day of Muharram. Ashura only applies to any 10th of any calendar month will be, Ashura. But no, we do not use it Ashura for any 10th except for the 10th of Muharram. So whenever you remember Ashura, you should recite Ziyarat-e-Ashura or any other Ziyarat. Look at the Istihbab and the Mustahab, you know, the recommended part. After your Namaz, after every Namaz, even if you can't do the full Ziyarat, then just say, stand up and turn towards Karbala. Turn towards Karbala. After, from here, usually from North America and from Britain, from Europe, it is only about 10, you know, from India, I can tell you, about 10-15 degrees away from, you know, the distance from Khana Kaaba, from, you know, Mecca to Karbala is about 15 degrees, very little, so you can't actually turn. It is almost the same direction. But it is mustahab to turn towards Karbala after your namaz. And even if you don't know any ziyarat, then say, Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Look at the istihbab. Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. O Abu Abdullah, O father of Abdullah, salutations be upon you. Salam on you, O father of Abdullah. Yes, it is the kunyat of Imam Hussain al-Salam. He is Abu Abdullah. From the child, you know, it is a common practice among the Arabs that as soon as the child is born, they give him a name and they give him a kunyat. Imam Ali al-Salam was given the kunyat Abu al-Hassan. Imam Hassan was given the kunyat Abu Muhammad. Imam Hussain was given the kunyat when he was born, Abu Abdullah. But the ulama say that why is it mustahab after every namaz to turn towards Karbala and say Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah? You can't even do full ziyarah, just say Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. O father of Abdullah, salutations be upon you. What is Abdullah? Abdullah means the one who serves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who does ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is called Abdullah. O Abu Abdullah, O father of Abdullah, salutations be upon you. Which Abdullah? The ulama say yes, he may have had a son called Abdullah. But the ulama say that here, anyone who does ibadat, after your ibadat, you should say Assalamu alayka ya Abdullah. Implying that every person who serves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, anyone who does ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his father, his spiritual father is Imam Hussain alayhi salatu wa sallam. He is the father of anyone who does ibadat. Because it was due to him that this namaz was saved, this ibadat was saved. Every ibadat was saved because of Sayyidul Shuhada. Everything was saved. Today, if you openly practice your religion, it is due to Imam Hussain alayhi salam. So it is mustahab. So to at least remember Imam Hussain after your namaz and say, As-salamu alayka ya wa abdillah. There are so many stories about the people who were, you know, who had the shafaat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam because they used to do any ziyarat every day. Any ziyarat, even the short ziyarat. Ziyarat of Jami' al-Kabir is a long ziyarat. One of my friends, he went around asking over 100 scholars, main maraji and ulama in Qom. He said, I asked over 100, you know, grade 1 scholars, maraji, ayatullah, what is one action that you do every day? He said, every single one of them except for one marja. Every single one of them said, we recite Ziyarat-e Ashura every day. And we have become what we have become because of Ziyarat-e Ashura. Except for one marja, who was Sheikh Atullah, Sheikh Muhammad Ali Araki. He said, hey, when I asked him, he said, I do two things every day. After Fajr, I do Ziyarat-e Ashura. And after Isha, I do Ziyarat-e Jami'a Kabira every day. Ziyarat-e Jami'a Kabira is one of the longest Ziyarat that we have. Can you imagine? These people become what they become because of that connection that they have with the Imam alayhi salam, especially with Imam Hussain alayhi salam and Imam Ali alayhi salam. So it is extremely important that you form that connection through ziyarat. Ziyarat, our scholars believe, are the best way of forming your connection with the Imam. You know, when I was saying yesterday as well, last night, you try and form a connection with the Imam, you know, 12th Imam alayhi salam. The ulama say the best method of forming the connection with the Imam is ziyarat. Visit them, or even if you can't visit them regularly, then at least recite their ziyarat on a regular basis. Ziyarat is the best method of connection, you know, forming a connection with the Imam. How? Say Allah salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Yeah, I caught a lot of sugar. After finishing, I realized. Now, sugar is good for you in the morning, but you know, not. Moroccans are famous for eating a lot of halwa. But you know, there are hadiths which indicate that, you know, eating sweets is a nice sign. You'll say, yes, you will say that, won't you? No, it's not. Honestly, it is. Al-mu'minun halawiyun, the mu'mineen are always sweet. So some people say, no, that means that they're good of behavior. Not that they eat a lot of sweets. So meaning they are nice, you know, they talk, you know, respectfully with each other, good akhlaq, implying, you know, halawiyun, meaning they have good ethics. Inshallah, it also implies that they eat sweets. You know, because we have animals that eat, you know, meat, grass, I don't know, so many things. But it's only the human beings who love sweets. Hopefully. I don't know. You'll tell me. So sweets are extremely nice. You know, the Holy Prophet used to, you know, like sweets and everything. You'll say, you know, he's making a Quran for himself. No, I'm not. But inshallah, hopefully you'll all like sweets as well. I've had a very sweet tea, so I had to speak about sweets. Even for your nazar, and you know, for all of these things, it is mustahab to do it on a sweet thing. You know, even if you don't have, just get something natural sweet. You know, honey or things which are made, you know, are natural sweets. Things like that, you know, even any fruit or even anything which is sweet, mustahab. Nothing, you know, not other things, mustahab to use those things. To give out in tabarruk as well, it is mustahab. Even amongst maraji, they distribute sweet things. Anyway, that was only a side note. Coming back to that forming of connection. You know, at this time of night, and you feel that Karbala is in your heart, every mu'min should feel that Imam Hussain alayhi salam, the haram of Imam Hussain is in his heart. Every mu'min should feel that he has the haram of Imam Hussain alayhi salam in his heart. And how do you keep it, you know, lightened? Through ziyarat. Through, only and only through ziyarat. I'll quickly mention one story that I wanted to mention. And then I'll come back to some of the words of Ziyarat-e Ashura and the importance of Ziyarat. There are so many books now. Ayatollah Jawadi Amali has written 7 volumes on Ziyarat-e Jami'a Kabira. 6 volumes, 500-600 pages each. And he's still writing. I have so many commentaries on Ziyarat-e Ashura, Ziyarat-e Varitha, and Ziyarat-e Jami'a Kabira. Ziyarat-e Yaseen, Ziyarat-e Aminullah. You know, all of these Ziyarat have so many commentaries. And when you look at those commentaries, that's when you realize what are the Imams saying about each other. You see, two things we have that none of the other schools of thought in Islam have. One, dua, the other one, ziyarat. Du'as and the ziyarat. What is the beauty about ziyarat and du'as? You know, when the Imam alayhi salam are speaking to us, they come down to our level and then they speak. You know, they speak, you know, when they're giving a sermon or a hadith, it is down to our level. Meaning they make it simple. Kallimun nasa ala qadri ukurim. Speak to the people down to their level, you know. But when they're making a dua, then they're speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then they do not come down to our level. Then they're speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who are they speaking to? The best being. And who is it speaking? The best creation. So the highest level you will see of the Aimal al-Muslim in du'as. Did you all get that? And the second most important, ziyarat. In ziyarat, it is one imam visiting another imam. How do they treat each other? How do they speak to each other? This is one imam saying, As-salamu alayka ya Abdullah. As-salamu alayka ibn Rasulullah. As-salamu alayka ya Hujjatullah. You know these words, the imam, one imam is introducing the other imam. So this is the imam who is speaking and he is speaking to an imam. So therefore the ziyarat are the highest, the peak of the ma'arif of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. The science and the arts of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam are ziyarat. If you want to see the fadail of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, you will find them in ziyarat. Look at some of the words used by the Imam alayhi salam. For example, I'll very quickly give you a gist of all the different ziyarat that we have. You know, just a sentence from here and there. I'll complete the story about, you know, the story that I keep saying, and then I'll inshallah go into the words. You must have heard this story many times from different scholars. You may have read it in Mafatih al-Dinan yourself. Sheikh Abbas al-Qumi mentioned that there was this carpenter that his wife died. If you remember that story?
No.
No? Okay, then you haven't heard it. If I tell you, then inshallah you'll recall it. There was this carpenter that his wife died, who was, you know, quite a poor person. His wife wasn't much educated, and she died. And there were these two friends who were both great scholars. One of them had died, and they both promised each other that whoever dies first will come to the dream of the other person and will tell him what happens in the grave. You know, you have to be on a very high level to be able to do that. So they both promise each other that whoever dies first will come to the dream of the other person and will tell him everything. So that scholar, you know, years passed by, something like 22 years passed by, and then one day suddenly this scholar turns up in the dream. He said, Mu'mineen, fulfill the promise of each other. You promised me within the first 3 days you will come to my dream and tell me what happened to you. I happen to be still alive. Why did you not come? He said, I was held as you know, for punishment because of some of the sins that I did. He said, a person like you, I can't imagine you were such a great scholar. He said, no, I was held for punishment because of certain sins that I did, and the angels, you know, held me back, and they said, no, we'll punish you. He said, well, what happened? He said, well, this lady had passed away, and Imam Hussain alayhi salam came to visit her. He came to visit her in the grave and he said to the angel, he said, I've come to do shafaat, do not ask any questions. Do not trouble her and there should be no punishment for her. I have come to do the shafaat for this woman. He said, the first day Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, the second day Muhammad came again. And he said, okay, forgive the people that are around her. And the third day he came, he said, forgive everyone in this cemetery because of this one woman. This one woman who is... He said, who is she? He said, I don't know, but I was forgiven because of her. Imam Hussain did my shafaat, did intercession for me because of that one woman. Go and find out and tell everyone. So he said that he woke up in the morning and he went to the cemetery and he saw a fresh grave that had been about, you know, three, four days old. So he said he looked at the grave and he went and asked the... You know, the grave digger, he said, who does this grave belong to? He said, I don't know. This carpenter who lives in a nearby village, and this is his wife, and she died recently. So he said, yes. So he went looking for that person. He said, is there a person whose wife died recently? They said, yes, there is a person in this street. He went in and he knocked on the door. He said, first of all, I want to recite Fatiha. Secondly, I want to congratulate you that your wife was such a high standard mu'mina that Imam Hussain came to visit her in her grave and he did shafaat. And the third thing, I just want to know, what is it that she used to always do because of which Imam Hussain came to visit her? He said, I'm really surprised that Imam Hussain came to do shafaat for her. She was only a common, you know, a normal person. She wasn't very educated. She was a normal person in the house. Yes, she did her wajibat. She never fought in the house or anything, but I don't see why would Imam Hussain come to her grave. She wasn't a very learned person. She wasn't a scholar. I can't think of anything. He said, but there must be something. Think. Why would Imam Hussain come to visit her? That man sat down. And within a few moments he said, yes, there is one thing I can think about my wife. Every morning the first thing she would do is go to the roof, turn towards Karbala and read Ziyarat-e-Waritha every day. She would turn towards Karbala and say, As-salamu alayka waritha adama safatillah. Ziyarat-e-Waritha. Every day. That was the routine. This is what I can recall that she did every day. Shaykh Abbas Qumi says that, you know, because of one ziyarat recitation every day, Sayyidul Shuhada visits you. So anyone who does any ziyarat every day, inshallah, they will have shafaat on the first night of the grave. Inshallah. Now some of the sentences that we use in Ziyarat-e-Waritha, Ziyarat-e-Ashura and a sentence from Ziyarat-e-Jami Kabira. There's three sentences from three different ziyarat, and then I'll see if you still have if you're still, you know, up for another 10 minutes, then I'll continue after that. So a sentence from each one of these ziyarat, and then inshallah we'll see if you are still up for it. One of my teachers in Qom, Sir Adil Alavi, he's quite, you know, ill now. But he used to, I remember going to him, very learned person, he was a walking encyclopedia. And whenever I went to him, I would ask him something, you know, and, tell me about this, you know, what can I do? So he would usually say, this is what you should do. And if I asked him a second question, he said, stop. Don't ask me a second question. Did you practice the first one that you asked? I said, I didn't get the chance. He said, well then, go and practice first and then come back for the second question. So I always remember that he forced you to practice, not just ask. So that was something that always clicked, you know. He always forced, re-emphasized that ask if you have practiced the second time. Don't ask. I'll give you a gift from him. If you insert the shukr in one breath, say Ya Wahhab 14 times, you will never ever become needy. No. You will never become in need of another person. No. This is a hadith that he gave, and I've practiced it. Ya Wahhab 14 times in one go, in one breath, in sajda shukr. So once you complete namaz, go to sajda and say Ya Wahhab, Ya Wahhab, Ya Wahhab, Ya Wahhab, Ya Wahhab, Ya Wahhab, 14 times in one go, yes, without taking any breath. So this is from the Masumin alayhi salam, Ya Wahhab 14 times inshallah and sajda shukr. You will never become in need of any person. Financially Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always keep you through inshallah. Okay everyone, so this is a gift from Atullah Adil Adil. Salawat. I'll probably give you some other tips inshallah from these great scholars in a bit later. But now look at some of the words in Ziyarat-e-Waritha. Look at the words used in Ziyarat-e-Waritha, and then one from Ziyarat-e-Ashura I'll give you, and then one from Ziyarat-e-Jamia. Ziyarat-e-Waritha, what does it say? As-salamu alayka ya waritha adama safatillah. For each one of the, you know, the Ulul Azm member, he comes, Imam Sadiq al-Islam, in the Ziyarat. He says, As-salamu alayka. Salam upon you, salutations be upon you, O inheritor of Adam, who was Safiullah. So what is Imam Hussain inheriting from Hazrat Adam? He is waris, he inherits. What is he inheriting from Hazrat Adam? His Safwat. Safwat is more than knowledge, is more than the prophethood itself. Safi is someone who is pure. And Safwat of Hazrat Adam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he chose him. He is the chosen one. Safiullah, the chosen person by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala amongst all the angels, that he gets the khilafat, he gets the nabuwat, because he is pure. Amongst all the other angels that were present who were saying that we should get it, he said, Allah said, no, he is my chosen one. That chosen one who is Adam, Imam Hussain, he is the inheritor of Hazrat Adam in that purity of Hazrat Adam. He is the inheritor of Hazrat Nuh, He is the inheritor of Hazrat Ibrahim, of Hazrat Musa, Isa. I can continue. Okay. All of these prophets that he is the inheritor of, in the best qualities of those prophets, Imam Hussain alayhi salatu wasalam is the one who has inherited them. Why? You know, there is a whole debate about inheritance. There is waris and there is miras. Miras, everyone understands these two terms? Or shall I translate them very quickly? Okay, miras is something that you inherit, and waris is the one who inherits. For example, I have inherited this abba from my father. I am waris and this is miras. Hazrat Fatima sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a warisa and Fadak was miras. Did you all get that? So Fadak was a miras. She said, this is my inheritance. Miras is inheritance, and the one who inherits is waris. Okay, everyone?
Yes.
Now, who is afdal? My question. Who is superior? Is the miras superior, or is the waris the inheritor?
Waris.
Am I superior or the abba?
Waris.
Don't ever say abba, please. For God's sake, give me the... Yes? I'm superior than the abba. You know, I inherited it. For example, I inherited this microphone. I am not claiming it. I'm superior than the mic, yes? Now, I'm alayhi salam. You're saying for Imam Hussain alayhi salam, he has inherited the safwat of Hazrat Adam. The purity of Hazrat Adam. He's the inheritor. And so purity is inheritance. Can you imagine? And then likewise for all of those prophets. Can you imagine saying the shuhada now? Quran is miras, and the Aymal al-Musalam are the waris. If the book is the supreme book that you cannot touch without wudu, you cannot place it on the ground, it is the best thing that exists, then imagine how great the waris must be. Can you imagine? This is Ziyarat-e-Waris. Just one sentence that I wanted to grab your attention so you realize, when you're reading Ziyarat-e-Waris, can you imagine, can you ever think that you're reading Ziyarat-e-Waris and what are you saying about Imam Hussain alayhi salam? Who is he? He is the waris, the inheritor of Safwat of Hazrat Adam. The Safwat, the purity. And likewise, Khullat, the friendship of Hazrat Ibrahim. So from all of those, I can't go to the details. This is what the, you know, the commentaries, that's what they go into. And one sentence from Ziyarat-e Jami'a Kabira. One sentence. And Ziyarat-e Jami'a Kabira is from Imam Ali al-Naqil salatu wasalam. And you can recite it for any imam. You can intend that I'm reciting it for the Holy Prophet or one of the imams. Each one of the imams you can recite it for. Or you can intend all of them. And in that it says, the Imam al-Islam says, who are we? Who are these imams? He says, Qadatul Umam wa Awliya'un Ni'am. Qadatul Umam. Qada is a plural of Qa'id. Qa'id is a leader. Just this one word I'll just explain. Everyone paying attention?
Yes.
So far awake?
Yes.
Now, the Imam al-Islam says, Qadatul Umam. They are the leaders, the imams. What are they here for? They are qa'id. They are the leaders of, not ummah of the Holy Prophet, of umam, of all the people. Now there are two words used in Arabic. One is used qa'id and one is sa'iq. Everyone paying attention? Qa'id, you know, in olden days, you know, even today, the Arabs keep camels. Yes? And the person who was walking in the front of the camels and the camels follow him was named qa'id. It's named Qa'id. The one who is at the front and the camels follow him. He is named Qa'id. And the one who walks behind them with a stick, hitting them, is called Sa'iq. Today the Arabs use the word Sa'iq for a driver. A person who drives because he's behind the steering wheel, yes? So it's called Sa'iq. And Qa'id is for the leaders, for Rahbah, for any person who leads. Leader is called Qa'id in Arabic. You know, all the terms are taken from those cultures. In the Imam al-Islam, everyone paying attention. The Imam uses this term, Qadatul Umam. They are leaders. The Ummah, you know, just like the Holy Prophet says that each one of you is a shepherd, and you all have a flock, and you are responsible for your own flock. Now the Ummah is like a flock, and they are like the Qaid. But the Imam says they are not Sa'iq, they are Qaid. The quality of the Qaid is that, you know, there are many Sa'iq who just hit with a stick and take all the camels. The Imams haven't come with a stick to beat everyone and say, move. Did you all get that? The Imams are not Sa'iq, they are Qaid. They lead. But the quality of the camel that follow the Qaid is, have you seen that the camel that follow a Qaid, they're all in one rope, they're all trained to follow. I'm not sure if I could explain it. Have you seen, they're not in a flock, they're not just running. Usually the ones that are running here and there, they have usually a person standing behind and he has a stick and he says, stay in this group, you know. Any camel that gets out, he quickly runs behind him and beats him and brings him back. That is called Qaid. But the Qaid is the one who walks in the front, and all the camels are in a queue that are walking behind him. He just holds the one and all the others just follow. The condition for the Qaid is that if you follow a Qaid, if you follow a leader, then you need training. They are not here to beat you and bring you to the path. They are there to lead you. You need to train yourself. The Imam will come when you are all trained. When we are trained, then the Imam al-Islam will come. He doesn't come to... You know, there are many people with a stick. Everyone, you know, all the leaders here are with a stick. But the Imams are not there with a stick. No, they say, we lead. If you have the decency to follow, then we will come and lead. They are leaders. They are not sayyidin. You know, they are not the people who beat you and bring you to the path. The Holy Prophet was the most honorable leader ever, because he led the way, he told you to follow, and then people came behind. This is the beauty of each one of the words in Ziyarat-e-Jamia Kabira, that the scholars are now writing. For every word, they're writing a page or two. Can you imagine now, Ziyarat-e-Jamia Kabira is having 7-volume commentary still not completed. This is the Shia school of thought, the school of thought of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wa salam. It is so enriched with culture, with knowledge, that when you read, you realize, I wish I had more time. You know, when I first came from Iran in 98, I used to always, you know, look at some of my friends and I said, I wish I was a bit more busy. You know, I had, you know, a little bit more to do with the tabligh work. And within a few years, I started saying, I wish I had a little bit more free time. I wish I had more free time so I could read more, I could write more, I could do some of the things that I want to do. And now, you know, when I'm reading, I'm writing, the telephone calls, and when I'm away, you know, for a holiday like this, and this is a holiday, and I'm on work. 24 hours, you know. You're always mentally, you know, you have a responsibility on hand. Month of Ramadan. Haram Safar is even more busy. The month of Ramadan is still more, a lot more relaxed. Just Quran and Ibadat and everything. And at other times, when I'm in London, many people who come say, I want to come and visit you. They usually come and say, I wish I didn't come. So I spoke to you over the phone, because the phone doesn't stop. Now I wish I had more time. This is one of the greatest blessings that you have. You're all young, intelligent, you all have a lot of free time, utilize it. Learn things so you can actually benefit from these ziyarat and du'as. Otherwise, after a while, once you get married, and the life has responsibilities, children, you know, then you don't know what's going on. You know, and I have four. You don't know, you know, how to, many times people at my house, my mother says, do you even know what's going on? You know, the kids are, you know, asking for attention, and I'm on the book or writing something, and then that's it. I don't care what's going on. If they are crying and everything, I know they'll sort it out amongst themselves. You know, daughters are like that. You know, usually they don't fight like boys. Yeah, I've seen that, honestly. So they don't fight or anything, they just scream and everything. Oh, she's not giving me this, or this, you know, and then they'll say, okay. Everything okay? Yeah, alhamdulillah. I wish I had a lot more time so I could read all of those. I read a lot, and alhamdulillah, within an hour to two, I can read 60, 70 pages. When I'm reading, you know, doing my mutala, I can skip read and I can do fast reading with Arabic and Farsi, not with English and Urdu so much. It is still so much regret that I don't get the time that I want to spend, 8 to 10 hours, 12 hours that I want to spend in education. I'm only mentioning it for all of the young people that if you can, please do not waste your time. This is the age. Within the next few years, you will realize that you wish you were still in the same position that you're in at the moment. So this position that you're in, utilize your time. This is a great blessing. You're all, alhamdulillah, young, intelligent. You all have that urge for learning Islam, for doing the worldly things, for doing the religious things. Utilize your time now. This is the age of learning. This is not the age of playing. People have told you, this is the age of enjoyment. I promise you, they are lying to you. They don't know what they're talking about. All the people, all the teachers, enjoy yourself. This is the age of enjoyment. It's not the age of enjoyment. You enjoy yourself when you're old. The dunya is not for enjoyment. The dunya is for learning and for becoming, you know, better human beings. And it's extremely important that you benefit from your time now. One of the second parts that I just want to mention quickly, and then I'll... Now, Ziyarat al-Ashura itself has many, many different words. In this Ziyarat, the beauty is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, you know, the Imam al-Husayn mentioned the full Masahib of Imam Husayn in Karbala. The whole of the Masahib. Not the whole of the Masahib, but, you know, in brief. In Ziyarat al-Nahiyah, you'll have the full Masahib of Imam Samana, where he completely goes into the details of how Imam Husayn al-Islam is killed and how the Shuhada, you know. So he goes into, you know, a few sentences about each one of the people. Giving Masahib. But in Ziyarat al-Ashura, it's all about Imam Husayn alayhi salam. And then it mentions the people who took part in oppressing Imam Husayn alayhi salam. By name, certain people have been mentioned. You know, for example, he mentions Wabna Marjanata. The Imam alayhi salam very rarely mention people by their mother's name. Unless they dislike someone's behavior and the oppression so much so that they would mention it. They don't mention anyone's sin openly. They don't mention anyone's corruption openly. But sometimes they are so hurt. The Ayman al-Muslim have mentioned about Ibn Marjana, the son of Marjana. Who is this? Anyone? Ibn Ziyad. Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad is Ibn Marjana. And because of young people present here, I cannot go into details of his family background. It is not very nice. Simple as that. And nothing to be proud of, but Muawiyah was so proud of him that he said openly that this is my brother. You know, mentioning his mother who had no reputation, and the Imam mentioned the name, Wabna Marjana. May Allah curse the son of Marjana. Wabna Akilatul Akbad. And the one who chewed the liver of the Holy Prophet. Can you imagine the words that are being mentioned in these ziyarat? Wabna Akilatul Akbad. Kabad is liver. We all know who chewed the liver of Hazrat Hamza. When Hinda, she said, open his chest. And they opened, when she opened, you know, cut him open. She said, cut all of his, you know, the limbs. So he cut his ears, his nose, his lips. When the Holy Prophet came to see Hazrat Hamza, he fainted and he dropped on the floor. And he cried and he screamed. And Imam Sajjad says that there wasn't a day for the Holy Prophet more grievous than Uhud, when his uncle Hazrat Hamza was killed. Because she had cut, you know, all of his fingers and the toes of his feet. She opened his chest and the tummy and took out all the organs. She took out the liver. And when she wanted to chew it, it became hard. Because Allah did not want the part of a good person, you know, his liver, to become a part of a woman who was going to the hell. And the Holy Prophet mentioned the only lady by name to say that when you go back to Makkah, even if Hinda is holding the ghilaf of Kaaba, the cover of Kaaba, and she says, I repent, do not accept her word, kill her. The only woman. Can you imagine how much she must have heard the Holy Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the Holy Prophet says, there is no mercy for Hinda. Rahmatan lil alameen says, there is no mercy for her. This was the woman who came and said that, you know, and she went back, you know, she came singing and she went back dancing. She said, Nahnu Banatu Zalim, the famous song that is mentioned from her, that she went back and she said, today I've taken the revenge of my brother and my father and one of my sons who Ali had killed. She wanted Vashi to kill Hazrat the Holy Prophet. He said, no, I can't kill him. He has so many people around him. He said, then kill Ali. She said, kill Ali. He said, no, I can't kill Ali because Ali is very vigilant and he has He keeps an eye on every single person who is around him. He'll kill me before I kill him. He said, then I won't take for a no, then kill Hamza. He said, okay, I'll kill him, but I won't kill him from the front. I'll kill him from behind. I'll go and hit him with the javelin. He was an expert. Even if a person was moving, he would throw the javelin and take it through. So he hit Hazrat Hamza from behind, and the javelin came out from the front. And when you know it came out, he couldn't stop. So he dropped. When it dropped, the Holy Prophet named him Sayyid al-Shuhada, the first Sayyid al-Shuhada, the master of all Shuhada. The Holy Prophet, you know, someone had hit him with a stone on his two teeth in Uhud. So the Holy Prophet was badly hurt. So he said to, he said, can anyone tell me about my uncle Hamza? So a person said, Ya Rasulullah, I know where he was fighting. I'll go and find him for you. He said, go. So the person went and when he saw Hazrat Hamza, that, you know, the whole of the body has been ripped open. The person couldn't come back. He said, I would not give the bad news to the Holy Prophet, because the Holy Prophet said, it is makruh to give a bad news to a person. Not haram, but it's discouraged to give a bad news to someone because you're hurting them. Don't hurt a person. He said, and I wouldn't like to give the bad news of the Holy Prophet's uncle to him. The Holy Prophet said to Hazrat Ali ibn Talib, he said, Ya Ali, you go and look for our uncle. Imam Ali al-Islam came. When he came, he just stayed there. And the Holy Prophet said, Hazrat Zahra was there. He said, Fatima, you stay where you are. I will go and look for my uncle. He came, and when he came, he fainted. He couldn't take it anymore. Hazrat Hamza had a sister, the aunt of the Holy Prophet, you know, his puppy. Her name was Safiya. She's buried next to Hazrat Umm al-Baneen in Jannatul Baqi. She said, Ya Rasulullah, I want to come and see my brother Hamza. He said, no, aunt, stay where you are. You cannot see. She said, why? So he said, no, don't tell her what is wrong, but just stop her from seeing her brother. He stopped her a few times, but she said, no, I want to come. So he said, if you want to come, then he said, Ya Ali, stop her before she comes. The Holy Prophet took off his abba and placed it on the body of Hazrat Hamza. He said, cover the body so the sister doesn't see the brother. So he covered the face and the whole body. And Hazrat Hamza was extremely tall, so his feet were still out. The abba of the Holy Prophet didn't fit him. So the Holy Prophet said, bring some grass and some leaves and cover his feet so she doesn't see that his toes have been cut off. So he covered the whole of the feet with the leaves. And then Hazrat Safiya came. And when she came, she was crying. She said, my brother is dead. And she sat down and she just picked up the abba to see Hazrat Hamza. As soon as she removed the abba from his face, she just dropped on the floor. But she had two nephews that were present there, the Holy Prophet and Imam Ali. One held her one arm, the other one held the other arm. And they both brought her back crying, said, Aunt, just have sabr, have patience. And they brought her back to Medina. Now, I repeat, I only said this to give you just a glimpse of Karbala. In Karbala, there is one brother called Hussein, and his sister Zainab is crying. But there is no one covering the body of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Imam Sajjad says that my father Hussein had more wounds on his body than Hazrat Hamza and Jafar Tayyab put together. The whole of the body had so many wounds that there is no one covering the body. And no one says, Janabi Sayyidah Sajjad says, oh, please do not go to my father. And Janabi Zainab does tawaf of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. She comes and goes around. And you know what she says at the end of it? She says, oh Hussein, I was doing a tawaf so I can find a place where I can kiss you. But there wasn't a single place that was left on your body where I could kiss you. She cried at that moment. She screamed. And then she turned towards Medina. She said, Salla alayka malikatu sama. Ya Jaddah, oh grandfather, the angels came down onto the earth to pray upon you. And this is your Hussein, Murammalun Biddema. He has been stoned by the people even though he has been killed. Now look at the words that are used here in Ziyarat Ashura. I'm going to go and analyze all of those Masayib. Look at me and please try and listen to the Masayib. I'm sure that many of you will not be able to bear the Masayib. Look at the words. The Imam al-Islam says that, you know, Hazrat Hamza, he had lost all of his fingers and the toes. When Hazrat Zainab al-Kubra came, she said, why is one of the fingers missing on my brother's hand? Imam Sajjad said, there was a person called Bujdil, he wanted to take the ring off. When he couldn't take it off, he wasn't coming off, he cut his finger to take the ring off. Can you imagine the Masayib of Sayyid al-Shuhada? Sayyid al-Shuhada is the only Imam who's gone through so much in Karbala. the words that explain the masahib of Sayyid al-Shuhada. If you look at Ziyarat-e-Ashura, this is the day that only Banu Umayyah was celebrating, and the Holy Prophet and Janab al-Zahra and Imam Ali were present in Karbala weeping over Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Let me just try and give you just a few other sentences of Masahib. I've said this in Urdu sometimes. You know, there are hadiths that say that the Holy Prophet used to kiss four parts of the of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. His forehead, and he would kiss him on his lips, his neck when he was a little baby, and on his chest. When the people said, why did he kiss only these four parts? He said, because on his forehead he was going to get a stone on his face. On his lips, because someone was going to hit him with a stick on his lips. And on his neck, because Shimmer was going to cut his neck from the front part. But why on his chest? Why would he always kiss the chest and cry and scream? A three-year-old baby would always kiss him on the chest and cry. Ya Rasulullah, why do you kiss him on the chest? He said, because there will be horses that will trample his body, that will run on his chest. And that makes me cry. When the Holy Prophet and Imam Ali Muslim would remember Imam Hussain alayhi salam, Hazrat Zahra salam alayha, when she would remember the Masahib of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Can you imagine? This is Ziyarat Ashura. Ziyarat Ashura is such a Ziyarat that gives you the Masahib and all the words that I've mentioned. Imam Hussain alayhi salam, you know, he has many people that are present, many close family members. But the person who cries upon him most, number one, his sister, who comes on the day of Ashura, after Ashura, on the 11th of Muharram, and she goes around Imam Hussain alayhi salam and says that, oh brother, there isn't any place that I can kiss you. And the second lady who cried the most is Hazrat Rabab, Imam Hussain's wife, who was 30-something and she had lost two of her children in Karbala. She came to the grave, to the body of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, and the historians mentioned that her tears had dried out. She had no tears anymore. And she was crying and saying one sentence, oh my Master Hussain, if I had a chador, if I had a scarf, I would take it off and place it on your body. Because I can see your body is lying in the heat of Karbala. I would cover your body so the sun does not shine directly on your body. Secondly, oh Hussain, if my hands were open, then I would go and bring something to cover your body. Oh Hussain, if my hands were open, then I would go and bring something to cover your body. Bibi, what else? Oh Hussain, if I was left behind, then I would tell everyone coming to Karbala, here lies the body of Hussain ibn Ali. Here lies the body of Ali Asghar. Here lies the body of Ali Akbar. I will tell everyone that comes here. This is Hazrat Rabab. And this is the third person that cried the most after all of these two. The words are that amongst the ladies, the third person is the daughter of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. A 4-year-old daughter who loved Imam Hussain alayhi salam so much so that on the last moments of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, he said that, I will never forget you. You all have little children in the house. Let me ask you one question. If a dying father says, I make a will, do not ever hurt my daughter. And then he says, oh Zainab, please do not cry in front of my daughter because she won't be able to bear the pain. But you know what the enemy does? Shimmer came and said, oh Sakina, let me show you the head of your father. Once Yazid asked her in the court of Yazid asked her, he said, what is your name? She was speaking and she could, the lips moved but nothing came out. He said, open the rope so I can hear this girl. When they opened the rope, she said, I was trying to speak, but because my arms are tall and I'm small, the rope is tight in my neck and that's why you can't hear me. He said, who are you? She said, I'm the daughter of Hussain who used to sleep on his chest. This is the first moment when Yazid opens up a utensil, a tush that has the head of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, and he shows it to Janab Sakina and says, oh Sakina, if your father really loved you, then call your father to you. This was a trial of Janab Sakina's love with Imam Hussain alayhi salam. For the first time, she took out her cloth and she said, oh father, for the sake of my love, come to me. Show all of these people how much you loved me. The whole of the people were seeing, and the head of Imam Hussain came from that place. Came to Janab Sakina and she grabbed the head and said, oh father, tell me one thing. When you were leaving the tents, your neck wasn't curved. who cuts your neck, Father? Tell me one thing, Father. When you were leaving the tent, you did not drink any water. Did someone give you the water before you died? Look at the words of these people. This is Zarathustra. When you read Zarathustra, you will see the Messiah of all of those people. And the last thing that I want to mention before I finish off. You know, in the Masab of Sayyid al-Shuhada, people have always mentioned that he was riding a horse, and when he dropped off his horse, the scholars say there is only one difference between the body of Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein. What is that one difference? The scholars say that Imam Hassan is the Imam who had so many arrows in his body. You know, the body was on a tabut, and he had, on a coffin, he had so many arrows shot. But Imam Hussein is exactly the opposite. He is lying on a coffin of arrows. He has a bed of, you know, of arrows. Imam Hassan's body had arrows. Imam Hussein's body was on arrows. Can you see the difference between the two Imams, the two brothers? One's body had arrows and the other one's body was lifted on the arrows. When Janabe Zainab Kubra asked a question, she said, "O Zuljannah, is my brother on your back?" The horse said, "No." She said, "O Karbala, the land of Karbala, tell me, is my brother on your back?" The land said, "No." She said, "Oh Allah, then show me my brother, where is he?" Then she looked and she said, "I saw the last moments of my brother. He wasn't on the back of Zuljannah. He wasn't on the land of Karbala. It was a musalla of arrows. And my brother was on it. When Shimr came, he took off his amama, held him with the hair, and sat him on the back of his Imam Zamana in his ziyarah says, "Assalamu alayka ya jadda, salutations be upon my father." وَالشِّمْرُ جَعَلِسُنْ عَلَىٰ صَدْرِهِ زِيَرَةِ النَّحِيَىٰ. When Shimr sat down on your chest and he held you with your beard, آخِذٌ بِلَحِيَتِكَ, he held you with your beard, and my aunt Zainab was watching all of this. She turned towards Medina and said, "Oh mother Zahra, come and see. This is Hussein. Oh mother, I'm telling everyone, but no one stops." These are the words in the ziyarah that you read. Oh Allah, for the sake of these words that have appeared in these ziyarahs have so many masail. أَلَا لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ لِلْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ. Imam Baqir al-Islam was asked, Mawla, many people have mentioned, the historians have mentioned, that when Imam Hussain al-Islam's horse saw Imam Hussain al-Islam drop from his back, it came and was doing tawaf of Imam Hussain al-Islam, and it was making noise, it was screaming. What was he saying? What was the horse saying? Imam Baqir said the horse was saying to Imam Hussain, "Oh my Mawla, oh my master, just one stand up and get on my back. I'll take you so far away that no one can shoot an arrow towards you. Just Mawla once, oh my master once, get up and say, come on my back." And he said, "No, go back and tell my sisters." When it came back, the saddle was hanging on it, and all of the horse had so many arrows, and the ladies looked at the horse and realized that Imam Hussain has dropped and he has died. And that was the message when Hazrat Sakina, she asked the famous sentence, "Ya Jawad, hal suqiya abi amata adshana?" Oh horse, tell me, was my father given water before he was killed? Or was he killed thirsty? Oh Allah, for the sake of these words in these ziyarah, make us understand these ziyarah better. Oh Allah, give us a tawfiq to understand the masaib of Sayyid al-Shuhada better. Oh Allah, for the sake of Ziyarat-e-Ashura, just once in our lifetime, at least make us visit Imam Hussain al-Salaatu wa-Salaam. Oh Allah, in Ziyarat-e-Ashura we always read, "Allahumma razuqna Ziyarat al-Husayni Yawm al-Wurud." Oh Allah, bless us with the Ziyarat of Imam Hussain al-Salaatu wa-Salaam. And wa shafa'atahu, and with the shafa'at and intercession of Imam Hussain al-Islam in the hereafter. O Allah, give us the shafa'at of Imam Hussain in the hereafter. O Allah, we know we are sinful, but we believe in Imam Hussain al-Islam. O Allah, we want to see the 12th Imam al-Islam. Amen. Hastening the reappearance of the 12th Imam al-Islam. O Allah, we want to see the revenge taken from the people who came to Karbala and killed Imam Hussain al-Islam with our own eyes. O Allah, hastening the Imam who will come, and whose title is Ya Far Allah Wabna Thadeh, that Imam Hussain al-Islam is Far Allah and Imam Zamana will take the revenge for Imam Hussain al-Islam. O Allah, give us long life enough to see the 12th Imam al-Islam reappear. O Allah, forgive the sins of all of our marhumeen. O Allah, give us the tawfiq to understand Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam better. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim. Bihaqq Muhammadin wa alihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-masumin. Can you recite a Surah Fatiha and three times Surah Ikhlas for the marhumeen of all the people present here? The shuhada of Bahrain, the people who made the masjid, and the people who sponsored the event today. Fatiha. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I didn't intend for the whole event to be so long. I wanted to finish early. If there were any questions, we'll answer them now. Otherwise, we'll just recite the Zarat and we'll end the program tonight. So if there are any questions connecting to Zarat Ashura or the recitation of the Ziyarat, then we'll answer them.
In Ziyarat the Nahya, where Imam Zamana gives his the whole Messiah, when was it that the Imam really gave this Ziyarat to the people? Was it before his application, or how did it end up?
Okay. When was the Ziyarat of Imam Zamana? Because Ziyarat Nahya, Nahya means Nahya Muqaddasa, meaning from the Prophet Imam Islam. It is from him. This is during Ghaibat Sughra when he went to Karbala, and during Ghaibat Sughra he had four deputies which he had appointed. So many times he would write a hadith and answer the questions, and he would send them with his own writing or with his stamp, or he will just give an answer. So Ziyarat Nahya Muqaddasa is during that time, Ghaibat Sughra, when he gave the Ziyarat through his deputies to his Shia. So during that time Ziyarat Nahya came. Yes. On the first ascent.
Did they call the place where the Imam was, where the arrows were underneath the Imam,
is there a name for that place? When you go to the Haram of Hussein, when you go to Karbala, you know in Karbala you will find now, alhamdulillah, finally, I think this is the first time when we have a Shia government in Iraq after centuries. So the government has given a contract to a Dubai company for something like $2 billion to build the Haram of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So what they're doing is, it's half a mile radius that they're going to build. That will take the two Harams in, the Mukhayyam, you know, the tents and all the Ziyarat, all the places, for example, where Hazrat Abbas was his two arms, where Hazrat Aliyah Barbosa with the Javelin, where Hazrat Yasra, all of those are outside. And people eventually sometimes build a hotel, a house, and they're in the middle and you can't find. So what they will remove all the hotels. If you go to the Haram of Imam Hussein himself, go to the Haram of Imam Hussein Islam, and there are many places inside the Haram. One of the places is called, from outside you will come, the opposite side of Khana Kaaba. Okay, so if you go towards the back of the Haram of Imam Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you'll find a place where they, in olden times, I actually went inside. You could go inside, and now they've actually closed it off. There is the place called the Maqtal of Sayyid al-Shuhada. And that is still quite deep, and that's where Imam Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was killed. So they've actually, that's where he dropped, and the place, that is where he was killed by his murderer, who basically took off his neck. That is a place where it is allocated inside the Haram.
You cannot finish the 100 salams
until the last,
because of the time.
Mm-hmm.
You still want to
do the salam. Okay, you still get the salam. The ulama say that even if you can't do the 100 salawat and the 100 lan, then do not leave Ziyarat Ashura. Still do it, you'll get the salam. So don't leave it because if you don't have time to do the 100 salawat and 100 lan, still the thawab will still be there. But the full thawab is obviously with the 100 salawat and the 100 lan.
So, in reciting any ziyarat, is it necessary? When I went to ziyarat, I noticed over there in the haram, etc., many ulama did the ziyarat while standing, some did the ziyarat while sitting. Is there any specific?
Okay. Very good question. Is there a special manner when reciting the ziyarat? Can you do the ziyarat while sitting down, or is it necessary? You can recite the ziyarat while sitting down, but the imams have said themselves that it is mustahab You know, for example, when an older person comes, you stand up and show yourself Assalamu Alaikum, you stand up quickly. It is mustahab to stand up and recite the Ziyarat Sunnah. You're doing the salam and you should stand up. But for elderly, for people who are not well, and even normal days, it is not wajib, it is mustahab. Only for the Ziyarat of the 12th Imam. When you mention him by his certain titles, then it is wajib to stand up. At other times, it is not wajib to recite the Ziyarat while standing. But it is highly recommended that you do stand up. Mustahab. And all of our ulama say that no, if you're not elderly, if you're not sick, you should stand up and do the Ziyarat. Do not do it while sitting down. But you can. It is not haram. 2%.
Well, are there specific
Ziyarats that elaborate more on the other Shaheed of Karbala? Ziyarat al-Nahiyya elaborates on the Shuhada of Karbala, and there are some other Ziyarat by probably Imam Sajjad al-Islam that elaborate on the Shuhada of the other Shuhada of Karbala.
I have seen two versions of
Ziyarat al-Ashura.
Why is that?
Okay, Ziyarat al-Ashura, like for example, some of the other du'as, they have two versions. And the scholars will mention that this is from this Imam. For example, there are two people who are present. Or there is one person who says, I have taken it from the Imam. And the Imam says that this person has a good memory and he mentions a lot of ahadith. And one person takes it from another person. He says that I heard so and so, that he said that he heard the Imam al-Islam. What the scholars do is, they will mention both of the isnad, they will mention both of the transmissions, and they will mention both of the ziyarat. They will not take one away. They will mention both of them. But the more authentic one is the one that is written everywhere. In Mafatil Jannah, he mentioned both. Because he mentions all the ziyarat, so therefore he mentions all of them. Again, it's mustahab. It's mustahab. Recommended to do 2 rakat namaz after Ziyarat Waritha, after Ziyarat Ashura, after many of the Ziyarat. The Imams have themselves. But it is necessary when you go to the Haram itself. Then you recite the Ziyarat, then it is necessary that you actually do the 2 rakat namaz, the Hadiyah for the Imam al-Islam. Yeah. I'm doing 2 rakat namaz for the Ziyarat, the 2 rakat namaz Ziyarat, for Batan ilallah. Any other question before we...
I've seen the Dua al-Qama described.
Okay, very good question. Now, Dua al-Qama is mentioned after Ziyarat al-Ashura. Hazrat Safwan, the one who actually mentioned Ziyarat al-Ashura. Do you all want to stay a bit longer?
Yes.
Can I continue for the 2-3 minutes, 5 minutes? Can I give you a bit on detail on Ziyarat al-Ashura? Now, Hazrat Safwan is a person who was mentioned Ziyarat al-Ashura, Ziyarat al-Waritha, and Dua al-Qama. All 3 of these are from Safwan. He is a companion who lived in Iraq, and when Imam Sadiq al-Islam went to visit Imam Hussein, for Ziyarat to Iraq, he stayed at the house of this person, and then later on he built his own house in Karbala. He had a small, garden there, and in Najaf. For example, 2 things that I just want to quickly mention. Hazrat Safwan said that when I went to Imam Ali al-Islam's haram with Imam Sadiq al-Islam, Imam Ali al-Islam had actually made a will that remove the signs of my grave because the enemies wanted to come and suffer a due disrespect to the grave. So he said, remove the signs. The first time ever the grave was discovered was in the time of Imam Sadiq. He came and Safwan says that he came and visited, and when he was leaving, he wouldn't turn his back for about 40 yards or something. He walked backwards. So I asked the Imam, he said, Mawla, why is it so that you are showing so much respect? I've not seen you show so much respect for anyone. Who is here? We don't know. So he said, this is the grave of our great-grandfather, Ali ibn Abi Talib. So don't tell everyone. We're just only the close Shia. So he said, Mawla, can I just leave a mark so I remember where it is? He said, yes. That was the first time it was discovered. He is the person who has mentioned Ziyarat al-Waritha, Ziyarat al-Ashura, and Dua al-Qama. So Imam stayed at his house and he probably wrote it down. He says that the Imam al-Islam taught me Ziyarat al-Ashura, and he said, well, if you have a hajat, if you have a dua, then after Ziyarat al-Ashura you should also recite Dua al-Qama. The famous dua after it. Many of the scholars say that you should always recite it. If you're doing amal, the 40-day amal, for anything, the dua, then after Ziyarat al-Ashura you should recite Dua al-Qama as well. So Dua al-Qama is connected to Ziyarat al-Ashura. Yes.
For example, when you said about Hazrat Hamza getting his fingers and toes and organs, Well, I heard that didn't God used to make them as jewelry?
Yeah, like as a necklace. She wore them back. Yeah, she wore the parts of, you know, like she put them in a thread, and she actually hung them in her neck. Went back to Mecca and told the people that, you know, the lion hunter Hamza, we had him killed, and these are his organs. So she did that.
Yeah. So when Jinda died, what happened to the jewels?
Okay. Now those parts were brought back and placed with Hazrat Hamza alayhi salatu wasalam. The parts of, you know, the parts of the body, the limbs were brought back to his grave when the people actually conquered. Because anyone who has a part of a body of a masoom or a nabi or a shaheed, then their dua is accepted. You know, when you have it in your hand. So they started seeing miracles from it, and then people actually probably brought it back and placed it with his grave in Uhud.
And when was Hazrat Hamza buried?
Hazrat Hamza was buried on the same day that he became shaheed by the Holy Prophet Imam Ali. Ziyarat Ali Yasin is a short ziyarat. It's not mentioned in Al-Fatih al-Dinan, but it's not a very long ziyarat, and there are some amal for it. I can't recall them from the top of my head, but it is basically a ziyarat which has many fadail, and it is not mentioned in Al-Fatih, but it is mentioned in many of the other books. There is a book, I think I saw it in one of the books upstairs. Last question.
In Zarate Ashura, you curse the entire Bani Umayyah. Why is that, even though there were some
good people? Okay. Now, in Zarate Ashura, in none of the places the Imams have actually cursed the whole of the Ummah. The whole of the, you know, like ancestry. They would usually mention the individual, one person, except for Ali Banu Umayyah, Ali Marwan, you know, and Marwan himself is also from Banu Umayyah. They say this is the only family where the Imams have actually taken the name and said the la'nat be upon the whole of this ancestry. There are very few exceptions, but there are exceptions, like Hazrat Maimuna, like Muawiyah son of Yazid, like very few people, and the Imams say those are exceptions, but you will not see good people from that progeny. It is in their blood to hate the Ahlul Bayt al-Muslim. And today when you see in Saudi Arabia or Syria and other places where people, you take the name of Ahlul Bayt and they start cursing you and they start saying they want to kill you, it is probably the lineage of Yazid and Muawiyah. So basically the Imams have only and only one lineage. They have actually cursed the whole of the lineage, and they said, you know, Wabna Akla, you know, they have taken the name La'an Allah Ibn Umayyah.
So for the exceptions, we're not...
They are exempted. Lanat is something that the Imams have said doesn't go miss, you know. If a person sends lanat on you and you don't deserve it, it'll go back to him. So that's why, you know, when you say all, then those get exempted anyway, because they don't deserve it. So there are only two or three exemptions, and all the others deserve it. And Ali Umayyah. That is the only family that the Imams, even many that I don't want to mention because they'll be going on, you know, because it's being recorded, so I don't want to mention any of the names.
When you're doing the 40-day Amal, is it compulsory to do all 100 for this?
Yes, if you're doing the Amal, you know, if you're making a dua, that, you know, if I'll recite Ziyarat Ashura for 40 days for a particular thing, then you should do the 100 salawat, 100 lan, to see the effects. One of the other things is that, you know, when you're reading all of these ziyarat, then you must fulfill all of your obligations and refrain from anything which is even, you know, that may not be halal or something like that. So the dua is accepted. So you have to make sure all of these things happen, and then surely you will be granted what you ask for. Do it with one salawat and one laan. If you want to do the 100 salawat and 100 laan, then inshallah you'll all sit down and do it yourselves. Okay. You can intend for living people and deceased people. So you can intend it on behalf of your parents, on behalf of your brothers and sisters, your uncles, aunts, any deceased members, grandparents, anyone. You can just make the intention on behalf of the 12th Imam al-Islam, so you'll get more thawab. So make the intention on behalf of anyone who you want the ziyarat to do on behalf of. We're doing the ziyarat of Allah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. السلام عليك يا ابا عبد الله السلام عليك يا ابن رسول الله السلام عليك يا ابن امير المؤمنين وابن السيد المسيحيين السلام عليك يا ابن فاطمه الزهراء يا سيده نساء العالمين السلام عليك يا صار الله وابن صاره والوتر الموتور السلام عليك وعلى الارواح التي حلت بفنائك عليكم مني جميعا سلام الله ابدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار يا ابا عبد الله لقد عظمت الرزيه وجلت وعظمت المصيبه بك علينا وعلى جميع اهل الاسلام وجلت وعظمت مصيبتك في السماوات على جميع اهل السماوات فلعن الله امتان اسست اساس الظلم والجور عليكم اهل البيت ولعن الله امتان دفعتكم عن مقامكم وازالتكم عن مراتبكم التي رتبكم الله فيها ولعن الله امتان قتلتكم ولعن الله الممهدين لهم بالتمكين من قتالكم برئت إلى الله وإليكم منهم ومن أشياعهم وأتباعهم وأوليائهم يا أبا عبد الله إني سلم لمن سالمكم وحرب لمن حاربكم إلى يوم القيامة ولعن الله آل زياد وآل مروان ولعن الله بني أمية قاطبة ولعن الله ابن مرجانة ولعن الله عمر بن سعد ولعن الله شمرة ولعن الله أمة أسرجت وألجمت وتنقبت لقتالك بأبي أنت وأمي لقد عظم مصابي بك فأسأل الله الذي أكرم مقامك وأكرمني بك أن يرزقني طلب ثارك مع إمام منصور من أهل بيت محمد صلى الله عليه وآله اللهم اجعلني عندك وجيها بالحسين عليه السلام في الدنيا والآخرة يا أبا عبد الله إني أتقرب إلى الله وإلى رسوله وإلى أمير المؤمنين وإلى فاطمة وإلى الحسن وإليك بموالاتك وبالبراءة ممن قاتلك ونصب لك الحرب وبالبراءة ممن أسس أساس الظلم والجور عليكم وأبرأ إلى الله وإلى رسوله ممن أسس أساس ذلك وبنى عليه بنيانه وجرى في ظلمه وجوره عليكم وعلى أشيائكم برئت إلى الله وإليكم منهم وأتقرب إلى الله ثم إليكم بموالاتكم وموالاة وليكم وبالبراءة من أعدائكم والناسبين لكم الحرب وبالبراءة من أشياعهم وأتباعهم إني سلم لمن سالمكم وحرب لمن حاربكم وولي لمن والاكم وعدو لمن عاداكم فأسأل الله الذي أكرمني بمعرفتكم ومعرفة أوليائكم ورزقني البراءة من أعدائكم أن يجعلني معكم في الدنيا والآخرة وأن يثبت لي عندكم قدم صدق في الدنيا والآخرة وأسأله أن يبلغني المقام المحمود لكم عند الله وأن يرزقني طلب ثاري مع إمام هدى ظاهر ناطق بالحق منكم وأسأل الله بحقكم وبالشأن الذي لكم عنده أن يعطيني بمصاب بكم أفضل ما يعطي مصاب بمصيبته مصيبة بمصيبته مصيبة ما أعظمها وأعظم رزيتها في الإسلام وفي جميع السماوات والأرض اللهم اجعلني في مقامي هذا ممن تناله منك صلوات ورحمة ومغفرة اللهم اجعل محياي محيا محمد وآل محمد ومماتي محمد وآل محمد Repeat the sentence after me. اللهم اجعل محياي محيا محمد وآل محمد ومماتي مماتا محمد وآل محمد And the last part I will read and inshallah after that. اللهم إن هذا يوم تبركت به بنو أمية وابن آكلة الأكباد اللعين ابن اللعين على لسانك ولسان نبيك صلى الله عليه وآله في كل موطن وموقف وقف فيه نبيك صلى الله عليه وآله اللهم لعن أبا سفيان ومعاوية ويزيد ابن معاوية عليهم منك اللعنة أبد الآبدين وهذا يوم فرحت به آل زياد وآل مروان بقتلهم الحسين صلوات الله عليه اللهم فضاعف عليهم اللعنة منك والعذاب الأليم اللهم إني أتقرب إليك في هذا اليوم وفي موقفي هذا وأيام حياتي بالبراءة منهم واللعنة عليهم وبالموالاة لنبيك وآل نبيك عليه وعليهم السلام. This is the la'anat that you have to do 100 times. So you will say the la'anat and then you will say 100 times. اللهم لعن أولا ظالم ظلم حق محمد وآل محمد وآخرة تابع له على ذلك اللهم لعن العصابة التي جاهدت الحسين وشايعت وبايعت وتابعت على قتله اللهم لعنهم جميعا. You have said, O Allah, curse the first person who oppressed the Holy Prophet and his Holy Progeny, and the last one of their followers. May Allah curse all of the people who have oppressed the Ahlul Bayt. 100 times. Now the salawat, 100 times you have to recite. This is for Imam Hussain Islam. Everyone repeat after me. As-salamu alayka, ya Aba Abdullah, wa ala al-arwah allati halat bifana'ik, alayka minni, salamullahi, abadan ma baqit, wa baqiya al-laylu wa al-nahar, ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. اللهم خص أنت أول ظالم باللعن مني وابدأ به أولا ثم العن ثانية والثالثة والرابعة اللهم العن يزيد خامسا والعن عبيد الله ابن زياد وابن مرجانة وعمر بن سعد وشمرة وآل أبي سفيان وآل زياد وآل مروان إلى يوم القيامة. If you all go to search, then recite these words. اللهم لك الحمد حمد الشاكرين لك على مصابهم الحمد لله على عظيم رزيتي اللهم ارزقني شفاعة الحسين يوم الفروض وثبت لي قدم صدق عندك مع الحسين وأصحاب الحسين الذين بذلوا مهجهم دون الحسين عليه السلام. أغير أو sit up and do your دعاء. أبرني هذا من يدعاء. Thank you.